Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 1, 18, Episode 5 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, January 31st, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You've been leafing on me. I've been keeping all proof. You've been leafing on me. But I've been keeping proof in piles with all this blustering. That is courtesy of TDZ, a.k.a.'s. That is a Vampire Weekend This Life, a.k.a. Yeah, everybody got that, I'm sure. I didn't have to say that. Woo! And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Since we're in Portland, we have some Portland-inspired a.k.a.'s. Miles Gray, a.k.a. the man from Ripped City, a.k.a. Dubmian Lillard, a.k.a. THCJ McCollum, a.k.a. Hasheed Wallace, a.k.a. Trevor Atreza, a.k.a. Hassan White Widowside, a.k.a. Carmelo Anthony, a.k.a. Clyde the Fried Drexler, a.k.a. Spliff Robinson, a.k.a. Bud Walton, a.k.a. Arvidas Dab Bonus.
Damn.
And also Dr. Jack Ramsey. My co-host.
I got absolutely none of those references.
For the people not a single the Rose one. City.
Yeah.
That's what it, is this called the Rose
yes.
City?
Yes.
Garden? Garden
I thought
City?
Everyone was just a Democratic Socialist.
Yeah.
No, it's the Rose City. Yeah. That predates Democratic Socialism.
Oh, wow,
in
it does? Okay, I thought I just really caught on.
This is a great place to grow roses.
Hey, who's that? We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat, a.k.a. on the edge of my bed. Mm-hmm. We're recording
quite literally
in my hotel room. Mm-hmm. He is the hilarious, talented, brilliant Mr. Robert Evans.
I do want to clarify that I am not sitting on the edge of your bed for this because we're in a hotel room. That's in my writer. Whenever
right,
I do
right.
the daily
yeah,
side
yeah.
guest, when we're in Los Angeles,
bed.
You bring yeah. your bed in.
Yeah, we actually have to Photoshop the images when we do in studio photos because we don't want them to see we've brought in an entire bed for you to sit
no,
on.
You have spent so much money on writer trucks over the years that I've worked
movers.
Here. It's really
writer trucks.
And remember when we said, what if we just
riding.
Cut out the edge of a bed in a bench type scene because you're not
slapped
using
you across it. The
yeah,
face.
Across mm-hmm. my eye.
As you deserved.
Yeah. And then dumped a whole glass of wine in your face. It was.
I had to go buy a bottle of wine and open it. It took like 40 minutes.
He's like, you wait right there.
What are we doing in Portland? We had a sold out live show last night. It was a blast. We are on tour officially. The tour has begun. Mm-hmm. We are going to be at Brooklyn at the Bell House on February 12th, Washington, D.C., February 13th at the Miracle Theater.
It's a miracle.
Minneapolis, February 25th at the Parkway. Chicago, February 27th at Sleeping Village. Toronto, the grand finale, February 28th.
The Great Hall.
The Great Hall.
That's a fitting venue. In my mind, it's palatial. It's akin to Taj Mahal or something.
I'm picturing something very like medieval times for some reason.
Mm. It's like, Canada, so I'm picturing like one of those holes in the ground with fish.
Like an ice house?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
like
an ice
a Molson ice commercial or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going the other way.
I have the like romanticized Americans version. Like, it's probably made of gold and like free medication.
The streets are paved with free
medication.
They
don't have a red carpet. It's just like a mix of hydrocodone and heart medicine.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, Canada, where when you turn on the faucets, insulin comes out.
She likes some free vaccinations, eh?
Yep.
Oh,
nailed it.
Help us. We want to see y'all. Come through. Get your tickets. Robert, you say where to get the tickets?
Yeah. You got to get your tickets at dailyzeitgeist.com and then go down to the live appearances. It's not really a tab. It's more of a like scroll down to the bottom and it's like on the menu.
Nav menu.
All
right. See?
Or just like do a control F for, you know.
I think we've already made it too complicated.
Live appearances. It's in the
it's at the website, dailyzeitgeist.com.
Yeah,
dailyzeitgeist.com. Look around, please.
Or you can just Google Daily Zeitgeist and I'm sure you can find the live show.
Fair point.
Robert,
how
you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
We're so thrilled to have you as our guest, both right now on this episode and also last night. At the live show, a lot of really tricky, nerve-wracking knife play went on, but it was a blast.
We couldn't say we had Robert there without tricky knife play.
Well, you know, you also have to celebrate being in Oregon, the state that decided, for reasons no one's ever explained to me, that there should be no laws at all about what you can do with knives.
Right.
Just totally unregulated.
Yeah.
And, that's why I live here.
And it's been like that. You walked up to us and you have a knife on your belt, like a pretty
fancy one.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's my walking around knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my walking knife.
Yeah. Right. Very Crocodile Dundee of you.
No, this is a knife.
Right. I feel like he would say that's not a knife.
But, it is not.
Compared to his knife. All right. Robert, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about on this fine Friday. We're talking about the new emoji. There are multiple. Is emoji plural?
Well, it depends because it comes from Japanese.
Right. So the singular is emojo.
Emoji.
Emoji.
It's more like it's plural. It's a pronunciation thing. Then it becomes emoji.
Emoji.
I mean, no. You would say emojis in America. Yeah,
emojis.
But,
okay, cool. Well, there's a bunch of new ones. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about. So ABC is reporting at the time of this recording that impeachment may be over by the time you hear this.
Girl, I'm talking about impeaching this creep.
The impeachment trial. They might have just. Moscow Mitch might have just moved things through. ABC seems enamored with him, going with the sort of mainstream media's just kind of over itness of the impeachment hearing.
Just
sad.
Just
accepting of the talking points that the defense brought. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the World Health Organization declaring coronavirus a international health emergency and some racism that is causing around the world. And Wilbur Ross telling us why, you know, there's a little silver lining in this whole coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk about scientific studies. We're going to talk about Trump's wall and also Punxsutawney Phil, but AI?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's too much good stuff. But we're going to do it all. But first, Robert, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
You know, I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to get, so the Honda CRV, or not the Honda CRV, the Toyota RAV4.
Okay.
The European versions that they made up until a couple of years ago had a diesel version of their hybrid engine. And they never made it in the United States. And I'm trying to see if I can find one so that I can possibly buy a diesel engine and then a RAV4 over here and then
switch
have
the engine out?
Mix the two. Yeah. I would like a diesel hybrid vehicle for my bug out kit.
Oh,
Because, you know, the problem with a normal engine is that once everything goes to shit and they stop refining the oil, after a couple of months, like that's going to go
no
bad.
Gasoline.
And so you want to have, like, a diesel engine can burn just about, or I mean, it doesn't combust it, but like a wider variety of fuels can be put into it. So that's what I'm looking into. And I've so far had no luck.
And diesel hybrids are popular in Europe, I'm guessing?
More so than the United States.
Yeah,
you know, oddly enough, a lot of like FedEx trucks are diesel hybrids, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Or UPS, I forget which, but one of the two. Yeah. Maybe I could steal one of those or hold just a random delivery person up at knife point, make my RAV4 into a diesel hybrid.
Take this to my house. I just need the engine, man. I don't want to
see the engine.
This engine is not worth your life.
To be clear, we don't recommend anyone doing that other than Robert. Robert is a trained professional at holding up delivery drivers
at knife point specifically for the purposes of getting a hybrid diesel engine.
That's
and
why you bring me on this
after
podcast.
The apocalypse has officially begun. We will tell you.
I realize
the
view from
begun.
Our room overlooks what looks like a truck depot for UPS trucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I'm curious if that. Well,
that's my evening plans.
Okay,
so, you know,
of Robert's might not be known to the listener, but all of Robert's recording sessions are like the. Verbal Kent part of Usual Suspects, where he's just looking around at different things and just making shit up. So that's worth noting. What is something you think is overrated?
The impeachment thing.
Okay.
Yeah, not that it's not like important and that the president didn't commit a bunch of crimes. He did. But like, he was never going to get kicked out of office.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's been obvious to me for a while that like either we managed to get our shit together and win a really resounding victory in November, or the only way out of this mess is a general strike. That's kind of like where I am on this. And I think the folks who were like really hoping that the political process and laws were going to deal with the problem of this guy who breaks all the laws and then gets applauded for it, I don't think that was ever really in the cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the most we could have hoped for was witnesses. And then after that, then proceed to the vote in which they're like, okay, it's fine. Acquitted.
Yeah, that's kind of most of what we could hope for. And I think in general, like we've moved beyond, like the part of the problem is that laws only really work if most people agree that they want to live under them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not in that country anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Impeachment is my overrated.
Yeah.
Who has decided they don't want to live under what laws? Like besides GOP senators, just like Trump supporters have decided.
Yeah, I think
it's
about
not worth it for them to be wrong.
About 40% of the country has decided they don't want to abide by any rules that mean they don't get to do exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's kind of where we're at, and I think there's always been a piece of politics, because a chunk of like American politics has always been massaging the laws to make, you know, things more like what you wanted. We had this shit with like Nixon before, but there was always this like pretense that like, we are a nation of laws and we care about that.
Yeah.
And it matters more than, you know, my own political ambitions. And that shit's like, that shit got jettisoned a couple of years back, and it's not coming back unless there's like a massive reformation of American society at kind of a fundamental level. And that's kind of where I am.
When you say a general strike as one of the possible recourses, what are you picturing?
Well, it's basically, you know, you've got your two options for a massive reformation of society. One of them is a civil war, which I don't think is a good idea. And one of them is everybody just say, we're not going to keep doing any of this shit until we get this list of things that need to happen, until we get, you know, a massive reform of healthcare, until we get massive environmental reform, until we get a reform of the economic system that, like, you know, cuts out a lot of the inequality. Like, if you want us to continue to produce the things that makes this country valuable and like makes, you know, the lives of the people up at the top worth living.
The sweet, sweet revenue.
Yeah, you got to give us some shit. We're fed up. It doesn't even take all that much. If you got the air traffic controllers and truck drivers to all agree on the same simple list of demands and go on strike, I think there wouldn't be a whole lot the government could do to stop them. Like, right. Without truck drivers and pilots and stewardesses, the country kind of goes to a stop.
But, and podcast hosts. But and podcast hosts. Saying, yeah.
Well, we're the most important.
Right.
Yeah. We'll be the vanguards of the revolution.
Of the whole thing. Yeah. It would... Like, what would need to happen for something like that? Like, would there just need to be a, like, labor leader or, like, some leader to rise up that is, like, a modern-day MLK or something?
I mean, I guess that's one possibility. I tend to, number one, be sort of more of a fan of kind of the leaderless movements we've seen rise up. One of the problems about having a guy like MLK is what happened with MLK is it's really easy to shoot a guy.
Right.
Especially in the United States of America. I think what we've seen in Hong Kong is maybe a better blueprint for what that would look like, where you have a truly mass movement that has managed to like deal with overwhelming state power for getting close to a year now, and continues to bring millions of people out on a semi-regular basis to protest and shut down the city. And, you know, there's no single leader. It's very much an acephalous movement, and it has a very simple list of five, some would say six demands. But right. I think that's one of the critical things is getting enough of America on board with like, we're not going to settle all of our political differences. Here's three or four things that we all agree we can get enough people on board have to change. And let's not fucking keep this country moving forward until these things change.
Right.
I think it's a possible thing. Part of me worries that we might have to reach an even darker state than we're currently in before you can actually get people on board. I hope that's not the case.
We have to reach that tipping point where everyone feels the pain enough to figure out like, something has to be done now.
And my increasingly fading hopes for electoral politics are that we can avoid that pain point and make those changes happen without the necessity of something calamitous. But if something calamitous happens, then I think a general strike is your best bet for that not being violent.
What is something you think is underrated?
You know, I think jet skis get a lot of shit.
Wow.
I think they're better than cars. I think they're more ethical than bicycles. I don't trust bicycles, but I trust a jet ski. I think it's a noble steed. I would like it if more Americans commuted with jet skis.
Yeah.
And I think we could stand to, like, I think Elon Musk is barking up the wrong tree. We need to build a series of canals in America's cities that allow jet ski transit and mass jet ski transit. Jet skis that'll hold 40, 50 people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, yeah. A single jet ski?
The new train.
Yeah.
New train.
Massive, so long connected chains of jet skis.
Yeah. I like chains. I like jet ski gangs. Because then you can whip a lot about this.
Oh, wait. Now you pivoted to full on jet ski gangs.
Yeah. Jet ski gangs. Yeah. Like, you know, power numbers. Like, I just think there needs to be an 80s movie where, like, a evil jet ski gang, like.
Yeah. Where was that? That movie. Did we have a movie? Like
yeah,
that?
I've been trying to get it going for a while. Yeah, but yeah.
Is that the script you're always working on? You said I got to go work on something.
Well, I just like the idea
jet
of like
ski bandits with Jack O'Brien.
Everybody rides jet skis to school, and then there's like an evil jet ski gang menacing him.
See, but I also like the idea, Jack, of like a major international bank where everybody rides jet skis to work, and they've had to change the dress code because you can't jet ski to work in a suit. So it's just board shorts and fucking beer t-shirts.
Yeah, man. It has to be beer t-shirts.
Yeah, hell yeah. Fucking flip-flops.
Yeah.
What are you wearing, a collared shirt?
This is an important meeting.
Yeah, put this fucking Keystone Light tee on.
Tokyo's here today.
I mean, maybe
Tokyo's
that could be
just
like
a wrestler named Tokyo.
Like, if Waterworld was our reality, then everyone would be kind of commuting on jet skis.
That would be tight.
That would be tight as hell.
I mean, that would require, we're on our way to massive failure to address climate change, so.
What an amazing aspect of that movie where they're like, and also he has gills behind his ear because there's water now.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
I'm sorry, how did a human adapt
in a single generation we've adapted
gills? No, it's been many because at this point the language of Portugreek has also developed.
Oh, yes, it has.
Like, what are they talking? He's like, Portugreek. And also, I thought that was mind-blowing.
That's an interesting two different groups to have merged languages. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, were the Greeks great seafarers? I know the Portuguese were, so I guess that makes sense.
Pretty good seafarers.
Countries with like strong traditions of navigating the seas end up with some hybridized language. Yeah, I don't know.
Man, everything about that movie makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And also when Dennis Hopper's like praying to the captain of the Exxon Valdez.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come on, Captain Joe. Like, it's the fucking guy. Like, who's Captain X? It was like, it's a very weird film.
So wack.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah.
It's a very good movie.
I cannot stop. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it.
Oh, hell
I had
yeah.
such a morbid fascination mm-hmm. with it as a kid because I was like, you know, like when you're young, a lot of the like global warming, climate change stuff, like I have a feeling our generation takes seriously because like we were told about it enough to be like, whoa, yeah, I guess so. Then Waterworld comes out. And right. I'm like,
makes
okay,
it look super tight.
It's mm-hmm. like, we gotta talk. And I remember being really asking my parents like to make sure this didn't happen. Like, is it going to be Waterworld? And my dad was like, I don't know. Not, you'll be probably dead by then. And I'm like, right. thanks, Boomer.
I hope.
Boomer.
I have this vision in my head of like the climate apocalypse hitting in like a really spectacular Hollywood way.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner just looking at it and being like, well, I did all I could.
Right.
Like there was nothing more
he
I could
shrugs.
Have done.
He's like, yeah. oh, okay. What else did
I'm
I have to do?
I'm the one person who yeah. really threw it all in.
Do we think that that's Greta Thunberg's problem is she just didn't see Waterworld and like doesn't realize how tight everything's going to be when we're
yes.
in the water.
Yeah, that's why she's bummed.
yeah, that's why she's such a bummer.
As soon as we show Greta Waterworld.
We pop that movie on. As soon as she watches Kevin Costner drink his own urine, which yeah. is how
so
the movie starts. Yeah, she'll be all in, just like the rest of us.
No, I was immediately. Yeah.
You know who was jealous of that shot?
Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. let's talk about myths. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I hate to keep going back to the well of horses, but well I horses. Really hate horses.
I
despise
them. Anti-horse episode.
Horses kill more people than drunk drivers.
That can't be true.
It might be. Like, if you go back far enough, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you go, if you
take
include
all
the
stats
of the people
from
killed
the beginning
by horses.
Of recorded yeah. time up until about 1900.
Yeah. So I think the myth is that horses like people. I think what we're living through right now is a slow attempted genocide of the human race planned by
Big Horse.
Big Horse. That's right.
What?
Wow.
What is a way that you think people are underestimating the danger of horses? Like riding them and falling off?
It's kicking,
eaten
you know.
By one?
Kicking kills kicking. A lot of people. A lot of people get killed by Don Draper's dad. Kicked to death by basically a horse. I think it was a mule, but that's just a shitty horse.
Yeah.
John Hamm or Don Draper the character?
Both.
Yeah.
No,
John Hamm Sr.
That
the big
can't
ham.
Be true.
You know, they as the article you just pulled up shows, Jack, they kill more people in Australia than venomous creatures.
Right.
So Australia is the deadliest continent, and the deadliest animal in Australia is the ignoble horse.
Therefore.
Mm-hmm. But when Australia gets cars, like they're gonna be that'll go down.
When they get cars.
Yeah, but see that's the danger point, Jack, because when the horses realize they're not necessary anymore,
that's
they're
they
really that's when they're gonna you. That's when they're gonna try it.
Horses are magnificent creatures precisely because I respect the danger they present.
Right.
I'm not one of these horse lovers. I respect the horse because I know it could kill me with one swift kick right through my chest wall.
Mm-hmm. It could. It could.
Oh my God! I've seen enough. Like you know, I've been on the internet enough, looking at weird videos to see a horse kick is the last thing any person on Earth
right.
should ever want,
and it's the last thing a number of people on Earth experience.
Yeah, unfortunately,
like Don Draper's dad.
Right?
Do they, is that a cutaway scene or is that just a?
It's
like
from his childhood. I think it's a mule, but like he's no. There's like
he
a scene you see him as a
oh,
kid. Like his dad gets
scene?
Like kicked by a mule or something.
Does he fly back like in the Matrix?
No, he just dies horribly.
Just right there.
But yeah. Right in the head?
Yeah, I think it's in the head or the chest. I forget.
Oh.
I haven't watched Mad Men in a while.
Yeah.
It's a pretty 30s death.
I think, yeah, most of the time death. You see videos of people like fucking around with a horse and like mm-hmm. kind of smacking it on the ass. Look, you're actually asking for that.
Right.
But no, then when stay you see very happen- far away from horses.
I mean, I've been to a horse barn within the past couple months.
Mm-hmm. Taking your life into your own hands there, Jack.
And they seemed very
the city
nice.
Didn't take your kids away?
What's
they know
a,
you're
yeah,
on horse barns?
I know. It was they're very nice, peaceful, beautiful creatures as long as you respect them, I think.
Yeah, that's what they say about a lot of things. Peaceful and beautiful until they
Robert's
commit murder.
Take, dude, don't trust a horse.
The Yakuza me. Are beautiful, Jack.
Yeah,
but they're
that's
deadly.
True.
Yeah. Hey, wow.
Poignant. Oh, that's what I meant. Did mm-hmm. I say horses? I meant Yakuza. That's sorry, I always get those confused. Let's talk about the new emoji.
Hundreds.
Have we all really gotten on board not calling them emoticons anymore?
Yeah.
I think, well, because emoticons were, is that the ones you would make out of like alphanumeric signs?
Yeah, that was the OG.
Well, see, and then emoji is like in Japanese, like emotional letter or symbol. Right. Or, and that's where we get all the faces and crying and puke face and daisies and vampires and shit. But it's weird. They keep adding more and more. I feel like I don't notice when there's more. Like,
right.
There's a, I think the last one had over 80 or something added. I'm like, oh, really? And then I'm like, oh, cool.
Who's in charge of that?
You could be a like a brunette vampire if you want.
Is there like a central authority?
There is.
The Unicode Consortium.
And
that's horrible.
Alex Schmidt, current host of the Cracked podcast, our former colleague, just submitted a bison emoji that got approved that's in this batch of updates.
Really? So now Alex Schmidt and Kevin Costner will both be the only two people who can say they did all they could to
warn us.
Save the world.
Oh, you're using the buffalo emoji? Oh, real casually, huh? The there's a lot of food ones. I like the little seal holding its belly. Won't use it. It made me laugh. And then there's one that is going to be a chef's kiss, which I think is important.
Oh, that is important.
But what it is, I believe it's pinched fingers, kind of like an Italian, like, hey,
yeah,
what are you freaking, right. What are you
that's
doing
critical here? For Italian American culture.
Yeah, so
we've really had a rough century.
Exactly. Yeah,
they've all been texts will be like,
reduced
will begin
to an emoji
and end with that emoji.
But they say, you know, you pair that with the kiss, like the lips. Mm-hmm. Boom! Now you got
chef's kiss.
And
now
we don't have to, chef's hat.
If you wanted
kiss,
to, yeah,
pinch fingers.
I mean, yeah, and look, it's all up to you. That's the beauty of these things. And then now we're getting blueberries, bell peppers, flatbread, a tamale, fondue, teapot,
flatbread,
mouse trap, okay, potted plant, a toothbrush, and many other ones.
Thank God there's a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one that's like a roach, and a just one's like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, is this where we're headed? Where like, there are going to be some people who are completely illiterate and just... These are our new hieroglyphs.
I mean, are they?
No.
Are they replacing ones that, like, are some being retired as they bring in new ones? Because
I haven't heard of one being retired.
They should, right? I mean, it needs to, because otherwise it's just going to be harder and harder to find the one you're looking for.
Oh, so you're saying there should be some kind of like relegation system?
Yeah. Like, there's like, 26 letters. We don't just add new letters.
So we should take them away if we add new ones?
Yeah.
Propose a new letter right now, Jeff.
Right.
like a cube slower.
There we go.
Yeah.
Is that
F and Q mixed together?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's only good for Anton Fuqua to use.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say fuck real simply too, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what like the rebels. That's how they pronounce few.
Well, all right. Bubble tea. I'm glad we have it. I can't believe teapot and bubble tea were added at the same time. It seems like teapot was a real
should have been around
oversight.
Man, that really says a lot about modernity.
Yeah, it does. Olive, come on, guys. Olive was the first food.
I don't think we should have added olive.
The first food. Respect our history.
Yeah, damn it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And according to ABC, by the time you are listening to this, the impeachment trial may be over. The Senate Republicans may have just been like, all right, yeah, more on that later. Let's move it along. And then voted to acquit because they want the president to have a clean slate of health when he delivers the last State of the Union.
I don't know how they think that's going to...
Yeah,
that's people
gonna
are just going to gloss over that.
Right.
Like, well, okay, well, that's how we voted, right?
Right.
It's over?
Well, yeah, but you know he's going to love to just...
I guess the acquittal tweets are going to be real.
Oh, right. Oh my State God. Of, like, acquittal me this.
If they do vote to acquit by the beginning of next week, will, because the State of the Union has always been written by somebody else that he's just like reading very, right. It's written in the language of State of the Union. Will he like take 15 minutes to just fucking solo on,
you know, he's
on the people for,
if he's flying off that Adderall, dude,
right.
How could anyone on uppers like that bear,
right.
restrain themselves from spiking their own football?
I mean, at this point, the most patriotic thing you can do is just keep on feeding them Adderall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seen where that, yeah. Did you see that one? There was that one clip from that rally in Wildwood where he couldn't say shielding criminals.
And couldn't say what?
Dude, he couldn't
say
criminals.
It was that verbal aphasia shit.
He
like,
just went,
hardcore.
And the Democrats are shielding criminals. Here's the deal. Like he pivoted
off of
it.
And Fox just cut right the fuck away.
And someone
away.
Laughed.
Like,
did you hear?
Immediately.
In that clip, one of the people in the studio was like...
just laughing at the sundowning old man who can end the world with the press of a button.
I mean, I will give him that. He did have the wherewithal enough to know he had completely fucked up how to say that and tried to be like, no. Scratch that. This is what I mean.
Yo.
Anyway.
I mean, Biden, who is by far the front runner, according to 538, for the Democratic primary, also just... saying things that really do not instill a whole lot of confidence. Like he's like,
pretty close to saying fuck you to someone pretty
right.
soon.
But he also said something like, yeah, I mean, when I was elected 2010, 2011, 13, it's like, yo, what? What the fuck?
Oh, Joe.
And also said that he will get a strong VP. Because
he's a dying old man.
Just make it, right. Just make Bernie your VP.
There you go.
There we go. Two very, very old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love a combined presidential, vice presidential age of 150. That seems good.
That's 150 years worth of experience.
Yeah, man. But anyways, ABC reporting this in very much the way that the mainstream media has been talking about this, as, come on, the people just want to move on and it's time to get back to the election, which is fully adopting the talking point that the GOP put forward.
Yeah,
that,
dragging
we'll let the
it
people,
on. Yeah.
We'll let the people decide.
No,
it's like, no, this is about him cheating at that election.
The people don't enforce the Constitution, yeah. You fucking idiot.
Right. It's y'all's job, but none of it matters.
The mainstream media likes Mitch McConnell for some reason. Just a quote from the ABC News article saying about this. ABC News's Trish Turner caught up with McConnell as he arrived at the Capitol Thursday, asked if he has the votes he needs to win the day Friday. On witnesses, he responded, "We'll see what tomorrow brings." Then when asked if he felt confident about the vote, he turned his head and with a sly grin and said, "I always do." It's like, I'm sorry, ABC, are you trying to fuck Mitch McConnell?
Yeah.
Sly grin.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, anyone who can find love in this chaotic modern world. Yeah.
No, it is funny because I know it doesn't matter, but it sucks that it doesn't matter.
It really sucks.
Because part of you wants to be like, dude, this shit has to matter.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, if I really look at with my sober eyes what the situation, I'm like, this is basically like the last stand for the like minority power, basically.
Right.
And they're like,
and they're going to pull out all the stops.
Right.
They'll kill for it if they think they can win.
White conservatives are like, bro, this is our Thermopylae right here.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're the not even the 300, the fucking 53.
Yeah.
We're about to just completely embarrass themselves.
Some of us are looking at the spreading coronavirus and going, I mean, if only if it was a little bit better.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, all we need is like it to hit one really good steakhouse in DC.
Right.
And
right,
then a lot of problems are done.
The lobby of the Trump Hotel.
Yeah.
But ABC fully covering the horse race of it all and just being like, wow, this guy's good at getting the votes together.
That's so despicable.
Best horse race guy.
The coverage is so fucking whack.
Killing democracy.
Right. Cause like they're trying to even like, I don't know how you try to both sides this shit at this point. You're
but
like,
he does it with a sly grin.
You have people who are the quote unquote White House counsel, but are just a bunch of jokers who should be disbarred. It's, if like they're arguing these kinds of things. And then like, who are just lying. And then you have other people pursuing truth.
They're talentless hacks who thinks that that's what journalism is. That the core of journalism is
just
showing both
it.
Sides.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not what Woodward and Bernstein did.
Yeah.
Like, that's not why Nixon had to leave office.
Right.
It wasn't everyone's commitment to both sides.
The two sides of this coin is one side looking for truth, other side lying.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to present it as.
One side committing crimes, other side being like, should we do something about the crimes?
These are crimes, right?
And then the media saying, people seem tired.
Yeah. should we drag this on? I don't know.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. I feel tired of it. I feel like the people feel tired
of
it.
They're like, just one more term and get me those tax cuts that fully make my balls explode. Like, that's all they want.
The ABC News article goes on to summarize some of the Trump's defense team's arguments. And one of the ones they point to is, the short, straightforward answer is there was no jeopardy to the national security interests of the United States from the timing of the release of this money. So no damage whatsoever to the national security of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No foul, guys.
They got caught.
No. But
they got the whistleblower, they released the money, bro.
They got the money though. See, that's the thing. They got the money.
That's like if you catch someone in the act of trying to kill somebody.
Nah, I didn't kill him though.
Right. Yeah. No harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul.
That's why we don't prosecute attempted murder.
Exactly. That's why. And you know what? That's actually a good deterrent that you caught me because I won't do it again, knowing that there's no consequences for me
attempting.
Trying it.
Yeah. Oh, man. It is getting exhausting.
It's getting exhausting. But the thing is, I feel like despite all like how it's like it doesn't matter, we still need people who think that it matters, who believe that it matters, because obviously the super victory version for the right is like everyone's like, and nothing matters. Like, that's, and we just sort of start going numb.
Suckers.
I mean, after this, just even if Trump's voted out, we're still dealing with half of these assholes in the House and Senate. We're still dealing with all these judiciary appointments there's still all this shit that's going to have to be fought against.
No, so, no. Trump getting voted out is the Democratic equivalent of a tourniquet. And like,
right.
You don't just like, okay, well, we stopped the bleeding.
It's like,
your gunshot wounds dealt
Look
with.
Everything like, below that belt.
Like, yeah, there's like, right. there's like months of physical therapy yeah. that will be necessary if we can stop the bleeding. And like, the hope is that we vote him out so that we can start the physical therapy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, yeah, the prevailing sentiment among people in this country is that like, that was so, we're not doing that.
Go back to that. And I just don't see anyone in a meaningful way feeling that way.
That we don't go back to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, because the people who like him are just happy that he yells at the people they don't like.
Right, sure.
And that's American politics is now.
Yeah, I think, and then you have the other half who yeah. thinks it matters, and then, but it'll only matter maybe if they become more comfortable
when,
enough.
Like Nancy Pelosi claps back at someone or something. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, I will say I've taken a lot of leaves out of the GOP's book.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of inebriated driving. And as soon as I get home, I call the police and I say, I was on the road, but you didn't catch me. And they say, that means it's not a crime.
Yeah.
Congratulations, sir.
Hey, and honestly, we'd love to give you a commendation for being honest with us.
I have a lot of awards.
Yeah. Like the, hey, you got us award.
Yeah. Right. America.
Hey, you got us, man.
The World Health Organization has declared coronavirus an international health emergency. This came yesterday on the same day as the first person-to-person transmission in the U.S. was reported in Chicago. One kind of scary thing that I hadn't fully gotten during the first wave of coverage is that you're asymptomatic for up to like
2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have it right now and you wouldn't know, mm-hmm. Even if you were traveling.
Did that guys tell you about my trip to Wuhan?
Yeah.
No, how
oh
was
my
it?
God. I'm a big fan of state measures to stop the transit of large groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I got some great shots.
You got some great
barriers,
shots. Yeah.
Fences.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The panic is a lot of people.
It's,
there's a lot of fear going on. A lot of Asian jokes I've seen on Twitter too.
Dude.
It's frustrating.
That like not even on Twitter. Like there's a French newspaper that had the front page headline yellow alert over a picture
God.
Of an Asian woman wearing a protective mask.
Jesus Christ.
The French, really?
Oh,
I mean,
man,
you
French
remember
are,
the whole
the
Charlie Hebdo
are,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, I mean,
yeah, it is France.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. That's it. And I think there's also been, I've seen a lot of takes too from a lot of people just basically like observing this like weird fear of Asian people too.
Yeah.
Like that they're people like, oh, I don't know.
And like focusing on like what was in the food markets and stuff. It's like, oh,
right.
they have all these weird meats and it's like,
yep.
Yeah. I mean like,
cause it's larger than SARS now, right? Like
not in terms of dead,
but no. they're saying like the rate like, and the spread
right.
is like would outpace it or something.
Right.
I mean, it's part of what's hard to tell is they think that there's probably, and this is also why they think, at least a lot of the experts think that the lethality of the virus is currently overestimated, is because they suspect there's a lot of people who got it and it just wasn't that big a deal for them, and
right.
they never went to the doctor or reported it, which is part of why it spread, but also part of why like it's probably been overestimated, like the actual percentage of people who get it who die.
Well, how do we know those people who have it and lived aren't using miracle mineral solutions?
Well, that's a good point.
You know,
and
because
you know,
QAnon is on that, and they've been preaching about
it. I brought
using
a gallon of bleach.
You did?
And I feel like we should take some shots.
Do some 20-20-20?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Your teeth have never looked whiter,
Thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank
is that
you.
From the bleach?
Yes, yeah.
They look brittle, too.
Yeah. Is that part the of scabs it? Around your mouth.
You want your organs to be white and brittle.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, a Vietnamese woman was actually speaking about what it's like for her right now in Paris. She said she was riding the public transport and she heard people saying, there's a Chinese woman. She's going to contaminate us. She needs to go home. And
oh,
just people looking at her in a disgusted way as if she was the virus.
Yeah, and so, I would look at the French. I go, here are the colonizers.
Yeah. Right.
Better get the fuck away.
Yeah. And the... So there's a hashtag, I am not the virus, going around on social media.
Jesus Christ,
there's what?
That is the bleakest thing I've ever
there's
heard.
There's a hashtag among Asian people online, I am not the virus. We're like being like, look, guys, it's not us. But
I thought Obama was president.
He was.
Are we all past this now?
Right.
Oh, I have some bad news.
Yeah, go on. Also, I haven't looked around recently. Oh, are we not in a post-racial world?
Wilbur
Holy
Ross.
Shit.
You got to find the silver lining and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, Wilbur Ross, I mean, thank God, through all this, you know, nihilism and just fear and dread, we have a rotting bag of piss that we somehow collectively refer to as a commerce secretary, is telling us all the good stuff. You know, yeah. He was on Fox News, starting off, you know, because the economy is like one of the only things Trump can be like, see, that's not basically a total failure. He goes out there and says, you know, the economy is doing so well. He said it was physically impossible for there to be a recession, is what Wilbur Ross said.
That's good.
That's true. What that means. I'm just trying to remember. I'm just trying to think of how you could.
I think it's kind of like how that, you remember when they built that really nice cruise liner that couldn't be sunk, and then it successfully made its journey across the Atlantic.
Yeah. Show that iceberg.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, no. So he now has, I don't know, dude, this guy's brain rot is something to behold, because his take on the benefits of the coronavirus,
only an American capitalist
could even articulate something like this.
You could seriously see the Chinese economy come to a halt. And given the large percentage of global growth that China commands, does that actually threaten what you're just saying?
Well, first of all, every American's heart has to go out to the victims of the coronavirus. So I don't want to talk about a victory lap over a very unfortunate, very malignant disease. But the fact is, it does give businesses yet another thing to consider when they go through their review of their supply chain. On top of all the other things, because you had SARS, you have the African swine virus there. Now you have this. It's another risk factor that people need to take into account. So I think it will help to accelerate the return of jobs to North America, some to U.S., probably some to Mexico as well.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. That's good.
So she was talking to him not about coronavirus, right? She was like talking about how competitive
China pivoted to it.
I mean, the ironic thing about this is that, like, for all of, like, the racial fears and, like, the stereotyping about, like, the kind of meat that gets eaten in China and, like, whatnot, for all of that, the thing that is actually going to cause the nightmare pandemic that kills a huge number of Americans has nothing to do with China. It has nothing to do with Chinese culture. It will have everything to do with the fact that some American is going to get infected with the disease and be unable to take a day off of work at Starbucks or at the nice rib place where he works in D.C. And will go into work and will infect someone, and that person will infect other people. And it will start this chain, and it will trace back ultimately to the fact that we have no functioning healthcare system or safety net in this country.
Exactly.
That is what's when we have a fucking plague that sweeps through this society and kills a shitload of people and does a lot of damage, the root of it will be people like Wilbur Ross and the thinking of the Republican Party. It will not have nothing to do with fucking China.
Yeah. Oh boy. It's,
yeah.
I mean, and what's basically his fear mongering is basically like, and you know, your supply chains, the Chinese people, or they'll get all your computer stuff sick. So don't.
Well, I mean, computers get viruses, so do people.
Oh, could you imagine?
Well, this virus leapt from some form of poultry or meat or whatever to human beings.
Right.
So who's to say the same can't happen
this
from
can't
a computer?
Go digital,
Miles,
man. It's gone.
You're not
electric,
an expert.
Like Bob Dylan.
The Bob Dylan virus.
Shit's gone electric, man.
God, I hope that's the future. I hope that's what kills 98% of the population.
Is
the Bob Dylan virus. Jumps out of the computer.
Oh man. Yeah, so that's where it, I mean, also, like, when you think about just all the tactics that this administration's used to quote unquote bring jobs back to the United States, first of all, where are the workers? We don't have the workforce to even begin to compete, because we've completely changed our economy. But then, like, all the fucking trade war bullshit, I thought that was supposed to help things too.
So you're not pro trade war?
No, I love every
other
kind
of
war. Just not, yeah, the easiest kind. Also, I mean, mind you, that like farm bankruptcies increased 20% in 2019, despite all the aid that was given.
Name one thing farms produce that we need, Miles.
Right.
Horses.
That's
see?
True.
This horses.
Actually, it was a really good horse crop this
yeah.
year.
Yeah. I'm heavily invested in horse futures. And you're talking at the beginning, man. I got words for you, man. That kind of fucked my portfolio up.
Horse futures. I had it all in horse futures back in the 1800s, and then really fucked me.
That damn that Ford and his anti-Semitism.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And while we're talking about all this shit that is stressing us out, might as well talk about the scientific study that makes it official. I think we've been teasing this for a couple weeks now. Stress does cause gray hair.
Yeah, I mean, they knew that it did. They didn't know the how exactly. Because right. Okay. Who doesn't know someone who you're like, yeah, after that job or I know some people who took a test and fucking went Edgar Winter. Mm-hmm. On right.
After that visit to the horse farm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How did your horseshoe apprenticeship go?
Yeah.
No. All white hair. Yeah, they've been trying to like just figure out what exactly is causing like the pigmentation change. And the experiment is a little brutal. They had to use mice. And basically use like some kind of like electric shock to trigger like a pain reaction within the mice. And so that was going to basically increase adrenaline, cortisol, the heart rate was going up, blood pressure goes up, the nervous, like all of it, just like put them in a high stress state. And then they basically looked, when they look at all the hair follicles that this process contributed to the depletion of the stem cells that create the melanin, that that create the pigment in the hair follicle. And yeah, like a lot of people, like this was, I think, done between Brazil, like a University of Brazil, and I think Harvard or somewhere in the US. And they were just saying, like, after a few days of this, a lot of the pigment regenerating cells were just gone.
Yeah. And then, they're saying once there was this kid who got into an accident and couldn't come to school. But when he finally came back, his hair had turned from black into bright white. Whoa. And he said it was from when the cars had smashed him so hard.
I mean, but I bet that kid looked cool as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
Was he a crash test dummy?
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of frustrating because, like, okay, I am generally pro-knowledge. I think we should seek to understand things better. But also the end result of this research, right, is so that rich white guys with gray hair don't have to have gray hair anymore.
Right.
Right. Right. As opposed to like...
There's nothing life-threatening about having gray hair.
I feel like there's other problems those minds could be working
as
on.
As you figure
baldness
out...
baldness and better boner pills.
Better boner pills.
I mean, there's all forms of cruelty, I guess, at every level of consumption. But yeah, like it's hard to be like, yeah, and then we just like shocked the shit out the mice to see if their hair would turn colors.
Oh, good.
Did that was worth it? Cocaine? Because I have noticed people who do a lot of cocaine get white hair.
Oh, yeah, like Ad-Rock from the Beastie Boys?
I just assumed that was because the cocaine winds up
in their hair.
In their hair, but...
That's how much cocaine they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that happens, that, and then your sinuses just basically
I mean, cocaine is not a low-stress endeavor.
Right, that's true. It's like they're artificially raising their stress levels.
Yeah, you go to like...
Nobody relaxes on cocaine.
A fake pharmaceutical ad, it's like, when my blood pressure rises, I reach for cocaine. It's like, well, hold on, what?
The blood... No.
The calming properties of straight sniffing bass. okay.
Has anybody ever done that? Just a pharmaceutical ad for street drugs?
That sounds exactly like the kinds of YouTube videos you or any of us would have made.
I feel
made
like a lot of our friends made money doing that. Yeah.
Let's talk about the wall.
Yeah. The mighty wall.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bummer what happened with Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I know.
Actually, we should talk about that.
About Roger Waters
and
his bleak slide.
Trump's, I don't know, the gist of is it, part of the fucking border wall blew over in the wind.
Just blew over.
Like, I don't know. I don't even know a clever way to get into this about
saying. Because you don't know how to construct things, Miles.
Yeah, exactly. So this was in Southern California, the winds were pretty bad this last week.
Yeah.
But they are...
Every year,
literally.
Exactly.
It's called the Santa
I don't know, I'm
Ana
trying to be like, hey, come on, give them a break, guys. The winds were pretty
this bad.
It's like, why we have the best firefighters and they can't stop fires.
Right.
Yeah. So this part that was in in Calexico, like near the California-Mexico border, they were 30 feet high. They began to just basically start leaning like from the wind, and the part of this wall was under construction, and they were putting like concrete back in place, but now they're like just starting to kind of address the problem and fixing it. But just the idea, there's something so poetic of just being like, here's your big monument to xenophobia, and the fucking wind blew it over.
Wind takes it out.
Yeah,
like the wind.
I mean, you've seen the way he stands.
Yeah.
Right.
He stands like that looked before the wind started blowing.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like he's in the Smooth Criminal video, just like leaning on an angle.
Yeah, he does kind of stand.
It's tragic that the only thing they didn't take into account was the thing that happens reliably every single year in that part of the world.
Exactly.
The winds.
The wind.
Well, I mean, I guess it shows that because I'm not sure if it's part of the section that the military's helping build or if it's one of, whatever grifter can. Told him it was Mexican proof or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, and that's Mexican proof." Okay, yeah, we like that.
Why I mean, it might be military built. They half-ass everything. I mean, look at Afghanistan.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, that's why we need the private contractors to come in now, Robert.
Eric Prince would have just used saran wrap.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like, yeah, I got your wall going. Don't worry. And if they get through, you know, we'll just commit horrible human rights
atrocities.
We'll
just shoot them. Yeah, we got guns.
Oh, you really want the wall? Look, yeah. You shoot a couple, they get the idea. All right, Blackwater out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Punxsutawney Phil. He is being approximated with an AI.
PETA wants the town of Punxsutawney to end their tradition. It started in 1887.
Okay.
They've been bringing out the old groundhog to be like, how much more winter will there be? Mm-hmm. And now PETA, because, you know, it's all about the ethical treatment. Because, you know,
an animal exists and is interfacing with humans. PETA's angry.
Yeah. Yes. They say times change. Traditions evolve. It's long overdue for Phil to be retired. By creating an AI Phil, you could keep Punxsutawney at the center of Groundhog Day, but in a much more progressive way.
Oh my God.
Talk about taking your town's annual tradition in a fresh and innovative direction. And I say that wrong because I just think it's hilarious.
Did they spell it wrong?
No, I just like, just when innovative? I want to make fun of people, think using innovative in such a hacky whim.
Yeah.
Oh, it's innovative.
In the future, Miles, as you sit upon the crest of one of the last bits of dry land in North America. You watch
trying
the
to cut
jet
gills
ski
into
gangs,
the back of my ears.
Yeah. Watching the jet ski gangs fight it out over what used to be Los Angeles. As your son or daughter says to you, Daddy, when the waters were rising, what did the good people do to stop it? And you'll say,
we did everything we could.
We did and you'll think about that robotic groundhog. We did absolutely everything we could.
That's a good opening to this film where I shed a single tear because I realized my family and I are about to be murdered by a roving jet ski gang.
Right.
And then you go into the reflection of my tear and you go into the first AI Punxsutawney.
Yeah, and that's, the whole movie's just about that quest.
Exactly. But the opening is really dark.
Yeah.
Right. It's a family about to be just.
And the last line is you saying, we did absolutely everything
could. Just machete to my throat. We did everything we could.
There was no other way to prevent
this. Black, fade to black. But it's funny because their whole thing is, again, they're saying they're a prey species. Their argument in terms of like an ethical treatment of animals thing is it's a prey species. They actively avoid humans. Being in close proximity to the public causes these animals great stress. Okay, let's see if their hair is gray. That's how we'll really know. And when Phil is dragged out of his hole and held up to flashing lights and crowds, he has no idea what's happening. So would no other fucking animal on earth know what's happening. I'm sorry. I understand the other things.
They
I feel
don't
bad
really
about stress,
understand it very well.
But it's not like the problem is like, okay, I'm sentient. Mm-hmm. I know I'm Punxsutawney Phil.
Right.
I'm
what's going on here?
I'm the 40th of my name.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wait, but what are all these people doing here now?
Punxsutawney Phil.
40th of
I
my
mean,
name.
Like if that, like it's one of those things. Like I'm never gonna stand up and support factory farming. But if like your choice for an evil to fight is like once a year, this animal whose health and welfare are otherwise deeply cared for has a stressful day. An animal that would have been a prey animal living in the wild being
having
hunted.
Having no predators now.
Yeah. no predators now.
Yeah.
One rough day.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they fight tooth and nail against factory farms. But I think this is their newest moment to sort of shoehorn their name into the conversation.
It's a PR thing. Yeah.
The best is the guy who's the president of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. This guy, Bill Dealey, he's like, look, Phil is treated well and he enjoys his routine. He's fed a healthy diet. His habitat is temperature controlled. The fucking burrow is inspected by the Department of Agriculture every year.
He lives well.
But this is the best part, which shows you how assholey humans are. This is when he completely negates everything. He goes, and if he's so fearful of the cameras, if he's so fearful of us and the crowds, why doesn't he just make an attempt to run away then?
Oh, come on,
mic drop. That's his rebuttal to this. Everyone loses in this. There's no clear winner.
Well, I'm ready for the waters to take us.
Yeah, please. And us to be, and Punxsutawney Phil to lead us against the roving jet ski gangs.
Yeah. But the AI version, otherwise it's exploitative.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Pete also doesn't think we should be allowed to have pets.
Yeah.
Right, because they're not for
animal slavery.
Have you talked to a dog, Pete?
Die the second I let his ass out. Right. I'm sorry. There's no ways to live better than with me.
That's kind of their whole deal.
Our friends and animal companions, we just think that they would have been better off if they got to live their own lives. being hunted and like
also my we dog invented Finn dogs
would have been yeah
he would never have existed without us
right
nature doesn't make dogs.
I mean yeah the again no this isn't a pro animal cruelty show by any stretch of the imagination, but when you go to the extremes like
oh yeah I guess with the opening horse yeah. stuff that could seem like yeah, we're just like really mean about
they
animals.
Hate horses.
I do hate horses. Animals. I love animals. Horses.
I hate horses.
I love animals. I just wish wealthy white people would care about people first.
Yeah. PETA, I am not a huge
fully
fan
agree
of.
But I also think that like in this world of constant frustrations like yeah. the ones we've gone through today, like one of the very few things I'm unequivocally proud of humans mm-hmm. for making is dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we got that one right.
We really yeah. fucking nailed
we
that.
Really nailed
and
dogs.
Especially when you're like the healing magical properties yeah. of a dog.
Yeah. It's they're like, incredible.
Yeah. They're like helping like people who are in our prison system be
they
like,
find bombs.
Yeah.
Right. Like
some can
we
sniff
really
like
did
other diseases.
Nail it with the invention yeah. of dogs.
Yeah, they rule.
You know what?
Yeah.
We at PETA very much love the humans. Animal companions who share our homes, but we believe that it would have been in the animal's best interest if the institution of pet keeping, breeding animals to be kept and regarded as pets, never existed.
I mean, I'm in favor of like breeding dogs.
Yeah,
like well, there's plenty of strays. How, yeah,
they fuck on their own.
Yeah, they're doing all right. Yeah.
Look, I'm a magician. I can fuck on my own time.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think any of these PETA people are so like they love animals, but they're like, oh, I can't have an animal house. Like,
yeah,
I do not.
I know a lot of them actually do have animals in their home, but like their attitude is still, I don't think there should be any pets, but they're here, and so I'm going to try to take care of these animals because it reduces their suffering. But I wish they'd never been. I wish they didn't exist because
Christ,
their existence is like
right.
exploitative. It's like,
but I can't. But they're
guys,
better off with me, even though
on,
I think
right.
the institution is cruel. Yeah. But then I.
There's other shit.
Yeah,
dogs. Like,
right?
Come oh, on.
Boy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, honestly, I just don't know what, I don't even know in their minds what they meant when they said an AI groundhog. Like, they would
a random number generator, basically?
Like
yeah.
an algorithm, like
right.
on a, like running some, like a computer program on a screen and then be like, winter, more.
It's like
they just yeah. have such little respect for the intelligence of the people of Punxsutawney that they're like, you'll still be a big deal. You'll
yeah.
still be the center of everything.
But like in a forward-thinking way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe they really believe that.
I mean, no one's got a lot of respect for the people of Punxsutawney.
Well, they should.
No.
People of Punxsutawney are the salt of the earth.
No. Them and horses. No, sir.
they deserve each other. The official count, let's just see. I just want to see how many Punxsutawney fills there have been. Because there is a record.
40 seems like a decent guess. But I don't know how long groundhogs live.
Never mind. Man,
is it a lot? Is it like a depressing number?
I mean, it's been since 1887.
40 like, this year, man.
40 this, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they buy them in six packs.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, go after the Punxsutawney Phil factory.
Right.
Where
yeah.
that's happening. Anyway.
Robert, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at IWriteOkay. I have a podcast called Behind the Bastards and an election year podcast called Worst Year Ever about how bad everything is. So
yeah.
if you're still like, I'm not sad enough.
And yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst that could happen?
Please check out.
Scroll on over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Boy, howdy. I'm so far past the point of being able to enjoy tweets these days.
Yeah.
I think eternally the one tweet that I always keep coming back to when I need a laugh is, has anyone ever showed Ted Kaczynski a GIF? I think it might change his mind.
That's pretty funny. Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter and Instagram at Miles Vray. Also on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Dana Donnelly that says, I'm turning 25 soon. That's the age where people will still tell you things like, don't worry, you're still young, you have time, but they won't mean it anymore. Oh boy, it's kind of true. And also one last one, this guy Tony Adams at Adams_AT, he is an Astros fan who went through all the video of Astros home games and logged every trash can bang from the 2017 season with like a spreadsheet and like correlations with like batting average and things like that. It's just, and it's a labor of love, but from a tortured Astros fan who is trying to make sense of the scandal of his own team.
Was he like, see, we didn't do it?
Or
was
no, he's really... like, look at this shit. He's like, wow. And seeing like who got the most bangs. Like some people just didn't get it. I mean, look, it's an interesting analysis. It's called the website is called signstealingscandal.com.
Yeah.
If you want to see like just sports nerd labor, but like this person's magnum opus.
Ashley Ray tweeted, one time in high school, I was in the bathroom making fun of how bad this girl was in the spring musical. And then it turned out she was in a stall and heard everything I said. And then she died in a ski accident like 2 days later and never got a chance to apply my notes.
Oh, Jesus.
To apply my notes. I think it's a bit, guys.
It's a still. We're all fragile right now.
I know. I'm sorry. All right. John Boyce tweeted, if the chance... I just like the... All right. John Boyce tweeted, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Bernie wins Iowa the next night, I'm going to drink an entire can of beer. No sipping it by the spoonful, no measuring cups, nothing. Drinking it straight out of the can, I'll crack it open, and on God, it'll be in the recycling bin 1 hour later. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from a little rap hip-hop duo from Atlanta, Georgia. Coco Outcast? And Claire.
Oh.
No. They're like, you know, on this like DIY wave of hip hop. They're kind of, I don't know, they're funky and interesting. And like,
have you heard of Outkast though? They're good.
No.
You should check them out.
What's one of their songs?
You guys, if you haven't heard of Outkast, you gotta check these guys out. They're good rappers.
And that's from, and they're from?
I think Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, are they the Atlians?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love
you
that.
Might know them as the Atlians.
I had the CD that had the woman's breasts out.
Nice.
That was printed on there
that
before.
Was
the...
so cool.
Do you remember that, though? Then they had they had to switch it up, put a bathing suit on. That's how you know you're OG.
Really?
If you had Atlians with the woman
out.
Being beamed up and she was fully nude,
yeah.
Then you're an OG. Okay, a track writing out. Yes, Claire. Coco and Claire. This one's called Naomi and Kate. About Naomi Campbell, Kate Moss, like model swag, but they're just like low energy rap style. I think it's just fitting. It's big 2020 vibes from
big 2020. All right, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's gonna do it for this morning's show. We will be back this afternoon to sign off for the weekend. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey,
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.